Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. How wonderful it is to be gathered together on this very special morning. Let me pray for us as we prepare to look at this passage together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Christmas and for Jesus. Please help us to learn from your word now, be at work by your spirit, that we might stand more in awe of this baby Jesus this Christmas. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Do you long for grace? Have you ever said something in the heat of the moment to a family member that you immediately wished you could take back? Have you ever made a painful misstep with a friend? Perhaps you wrote a card or sent a gift that was taken the wrong way. Have you ever felt unsettled and ashamed as you've replayed that particular moment over and over again in your head? Have you ever felt the chill of the silent treatment? We've all seen relationships with friends and family fracture over poor decisions, misunderstandings, clumsy comments, or assumed motives. And at Christmas, these fractures are often magnified. We may find ourselves in the same room as loved ones, some we've been hurt by, and some who we've hurt ourselves. And the longer we live, the more Christmases we celebrate, the more scars we bring with us. And yet when grace is offered, when a past wrong is no longer held against us or anyone else, it is very sweet indeed. Do you long for truth? Have you ever been told something and found yourself wondering whether you could really trust it? When a message from a friend arrives on your phone, do you ever pause and wonder whether it was actually written by them or by ChatGPT? Now, there are times when people do just lie straight to our faces, but more often it's subtler than that. Details are left out or context is missing. We're told something, but not the whole story. And you can sense it. There's gaps that leave you feeling in the dark, unsettled, and unsure what to trust. And it's not just personal relationships. We wrestle with what is true about the world itself, whose voices can be trusted, and which stories are reliable. And yet, how wonderful it is when there's someone who we can really trust. When we can say, if they said it, I know it's true. In the lead up to Christmas during Advent, here at St. Alfred's, we've been listening to the promises of Isaiah 40. And these are promises to a broken people of the Lord's coming forgiveness and presence. And today, on Christmas morning, we hear of how these promises ultimately arrive. God himself comes in glory as a human, full of grace and truth. And in a world where grace is often withheld and truth can feel uncertain, this Christmas, Jesus invites us to recognise his grace and truth, to receive his grace and truth, and to reflect his grace and truth. And we're going to have a look at these ideas in turn. So firstly, this Christmas, Jesus invites us to recognise his grace and truth. In verse 14, we read, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is truly astonishing. God does not stay distant. He steps into our world. He takes on real humanity and comes to live among us. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighbourhood. And because God became human, his life and his character were seen. Seen by people who lived with Jesus, walked with him, listened to him, and watched how he treated others. And it's seen by us as we open the pages of the gospel accounts. We see a life embodied by grace and truth. And it's truly amazing how Jesus held these two things together. He extended grace as he met and ate with sinners, and he extended truth by calling them to a better way of life. To see Jesus or to recognise him is to see what God is really like. And this seeing means more than just glancing. It means slowing down and paying attention. in the classic Christmas movie Elf, Buddy, played by Will Ferrell, is just completely enamored by Christmas. When he arrives in New York from the North Pole, yes, that's right, he doesn't just rush past the Christmas decorations and festivities like everyone else. He stops and stares and gasps. He's genuinely amazed by the lights and the trees, the shop windows and the carols. Christmas truly grabs his attention and he stands in awe of what he's seeing. What has your attention this Christmas? What are you finding yourself looking at? The impressive Christmas lighthouse displays, the trees draped in tinsel, the delicious food, the presents, the carols, or the social media photos. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of that. It's great stuff. But Christmas invites us to slow down and look at someone far greater, the one who comes close, full of grace and truth. Now, today will look different for each of us. Some of us will move quickly from one full house to the next. Others of us will be carrying grief, loneliness, tiredness, or disappointment. Wherever you find yourself today, the good news is the same. Jesus comes near. He brings grace for our weakness and truth we can actually rely on. So today, why don't you try something simple that helps you notice him? If you're driving between gatherings or just having a quieter time at home, why not put on a carol and really listen to the words? You might choose Joy to the World and notice those beautiful lyrics. He rules the world with truth and grace. Whatever you're doing today, as you notice the lights, the trees, the food, the presents, and the social media snaps, let these be little signposts. Let them remind you to lift your eyes and recognise Jesus, the one full of grace and truth. And that brings us to our second point. This Christmas, Jesus also invites us to receive his grace and truth. In verses 16 to 17, we read, "Out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Having truly seen Jesus, the one full of grace and truth, we're now told what that means for us. We read that out of his fullness, we have all received grace and truth. In other words, Jesus doesn't keep grace and truth at a distance. He gives them, and he gives them generously. Grace in place of grace, one gift after another. Jesus gives and keeps on giving. We celebrate that grace and truth are given in Jesus' birth at Christmas and ultimately in his death and resurrection at Easter. At the cross, Jesus takes on our sin and dies the death that we deserved. He then rises again, defeating death so that we might have life. We did not earn this. It comes purely from the love and grace of God. And Jesus wants us to receive that gift, to receive him. Receiving Jesus is not about knowing the right information or agreeing with certain ideas. It's about receiving what he actually offers. Forgiveness for everything we've done wrong and truth that we can rely on. Our role is not to earn grace and truth, but to receive them from his fullness. What's the best Christmas gift you've ever received? Maybe it was a bike or roller skates or a trampoline. Perhaps it was a voucher that you actually managed to redeem in time. Maybe it was a lovely card from a friend interstate. Possibly it was even something you scored in a Kris Kringle. Maybe you're hoping that a certain gift will pop up in your stocking or under the tree today. But here's the thing. A truly good gift isn't something you earn, work for, or deserve. You simply receive it. So what might it look like for us to receive grace and truth this Christmas? Many of us arrive at Christmas carrying things. Guilt over words we wish we could take back. Tension from relationships that feel complicated or unresolved. confusion about what words and which people we can trust. Receiving grace might look like honestly asking Jesus for forgiveness for something we've said or done, and then choosing to receive the kindness he's offering. Receiving truth might mean allowing him to gently name what's going on in our heart and let his grounding truth hold us. And if you find yourself opening presents at some point today, why don't you try pausing for a moment before you tear the paper or open the box? And let that moment remind you that Christmas is not something you achieve or earn. It's rather about someone you receive, grace upon grace, truth that grounds you, given fully from his fullness. If you're here today and you haven't received Jesus' truth and grace, can I encourage you to keep exploring? Keep reading through John's gospel and see what Jesus is really like. And keep coming along to church and asking your questions. And if you're interested, I'd love for you to come and chat to me afterwards, and I can give you this book called The Missing Piece by Sam Chan. And it explores the peace, grace, and truth that Jesus offers. That brings us to our third and final point. This Christmas, Jesus invites us to reflect his grace and truth. Verse 18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." This section finishes with something really important. Grace and truth aren't just things that we look at in Jesus or things we receive from him. They're things we now reflect. Why? Because Jesus shows us exactly what God is like. We read that no one has ever seen God, but Jesus has made him known. He's come from the very heart of the Father. He knows him completely, which means that when we look at Jesus, the way he speaks, the way he treats people, the way he holds grace and truth together, we are seeing God. We are seeing God as he really is. So grace and truth aren't just nice Christian ideas or values. They are the shape of God's character. And when we put our trust in Jesus, he brings us back to God. So he now calls us to live that same way. To reflect his grace and truth is to let what we've seen and received start to shape how we live. It means being people who offer grace because we've been shown grace. It means being people who live truthfully because Jesus is the truth. It means being people whose lives in small and ordinary ways begin to reflect the heart of the Father we've come to know through the Son. And step by step, by the gracious power of God's Holy Spirit, we reflect Jesus in grace and in truth. One of my niche interests is early 2000s Australian TV shows. And there's one series I particularly like called Love My Way. And in this series, there's an episode which features a Christmas lunch. And it's one of my favourite episodes because it really is just such a realistic portrayal of what an Aussie Christmas lunch might look like. The gathering just carries so much pressure. Pressure for the perfect family, the perfect food, the perfect game of backyard cricket. The expectations for things to go a certain way are high. Emotions sit just underneath the surface. And there's this unspoken sense that this one day has to make everything okay. And of course, it doesn't. Things go pear-shaped. Old tensions and griefs come bubbling up. Passive-aggressive comments are made across the table, and someone storms off the cricket pitch in tears. This is where reflecting Jesus' grace and truth really matters. Christmas lunches often fall apart because expectations are high and people are tired, which means that there's a real opportunity to reflect Jesus' grace and truth in this space. This doesn't mean pretending that everything is fine, but showing grace might mean listening before reacting or letting a comment pass rather than escalating it. It might look like lowering the pressure you put on yourself or on others. Showing truth might look like speaking well of someone over the turkey or not engaging in gossip over the plum pudding. When we reflect grace and truth, even imperfect Christmases can become places where something different is seen. Not perfect families or flawless celebrations, but small glimpses of the God who came near, full of grace and truth. In our beautiful and messy Christmas celebrations, we can reflect the God who lived, died, and rose again to give us forgiveness and life. So this Christmas, let's receive Jesus' invitation to recognise his grace and truth, to receive his grace and truth, and to reflect his grace and truth. Amen.